Hey, what's up? Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Let There Be Talk. It is November 24th, Thanksgiving, and yep, I am working today. I work 7 days a week. That's what you got to do, man. If you want to get somewhere, you got to fucking work. Yeah, I'm actually laying in bed. That's a good job, man, if you can work in bed. I'm laying in bed working today doing this podcast. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. How are you? This episode is brought to you by my great sponsor, El Cajon Harley. Hit them up tomorrow, Black Friday. Go in there and buy yourself a motorcycle. Don't waste no time. I'm going there this weekend. I'm picking up a new bike. Yep, time to trade in the old Road King for a new Road King. I'm headed down there. Going to get myself a Milwaukee 8 finally. And then I'll ride that thing all over America and tell you how it is. I love the new Milwaukee 8 motor. And I know you will too. Hit up El Cajon Harley if you need a motorcycle or some parts or your bike serviced, whatever you need to do. Hit up Milwaukee 8 Motors. Check them out. El Cajon Harley has them on the floor right now. I keep pushing that because I'm just blown away how great those new engines are, man. If you haven't checked it out, go test ride one. They'll let you test ride it. Or maybe just sell your bike. Maybe you're overriding. You don't want to ride anymore. I get it. Go trade it in down there, you know. Get something else. I don't know. But get your ass in, El Cajon Harley, is what I'm saying. They've been sponsoring this podcast for over 6 months, and they rock, man. Hit them up, El Cajon Harley, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or their website, elcajonharley.com. And what else? Yeah, I guess that's it. Love you guys, El Cajon Harley. Anyway, what are you guys doing? You on an airplane right now? You're going to see some relatives? Maybe you don't really dig that much. Some in-laws. Eat some dry turkey they make every year, and you look at them and go, this is so good, Gina. Yummy. And then you just fucking throw it under the table for the pit bulls. Remember that? Just feeding your dog under the table. God, that's the oldest trick in the book. So fucking funny, man. I still hate broccoli to this day. I would just put it right under the table if there's no dog there anyway. Just under the table. They'll find it later. Fucking wacky. 9:30 in the morning. I'm whacked. I'm drinking some throat coat tea. Let me get it here. Getting myself together, man. I hope you guys have a great day, though. Seriously. Out there, be thankful for what you have, and don't dwell on the gloomy stuff out there. Enjoy everything, you know. Don't look at the dark clouds, as cheesy as that sounds. Just enjoy life, man. Enjoy life. You know, like I say, promote what's great, not what you hate. That way, it's gonna look a little brighter. It's gonna look a little brighter today. That's what I'm going to do. Promote what's great, not what you hate. A lot of people have been asking me to review the new Metallica album. And I was like, why? Why, I'll talk about it, but review it? Absolutely not. Who am I to fucking review Metallica? I'm just a guy with a fucking podcast. You know, that loves rock and metal, yeah, but I'm not going to review it. You know, I know how it feels. I know how it feels when people, you know, they go, you know, that one thing isn't that good. It hurts to me. No matter how much of a fucking shield you put up, and how tough you can get, it still hurts. You know, I do this for myself, of course, but you know, you want people to dig what you're doing. You know, feels good. You know, so I and Metallica are fucking legends. Anybody out there reviewing them? First of all, I'm gonna stop right now, and if I fucking read this one more time, my skin is gonna fucking crawl. Every time, there's three things actually, that these assholes that review Metallica, every time they say three things. One of them is Napster. Fuck off. That was in 2000. That was 16 years ago. And that's all you can start your review with is, you know, going back to the Napster era when they lost a lot of fans. What a fucking cheap. You're just so lazy. That's what you are. You're a lazy fucking human if you start your review with that, or going back to the some kind of monster movie where they totally showed the insides and turned people off. Another fuck you. You know what you sound like? You sound like someone that lost a girlfriend that broke up with you, and then every fucking party you get a little drunk and you come over to me in the corner and go, you know, yeah, fuck her anyway, man. I need her anyway, man. She fucking, yeah, blah, 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 blah. It's like, get the fuck out of here. You know? It's crazy. 2000, Napster. And he was right the whole time. I've been saying it over and over and over. He was fucking right. Give that guy some glory. He saw the record companies and the music biz was going to crumble. And he was worried because, yeah, it'd be like if you were a carpenter. And then all of a sudden I said, yo, man, for now on, you just build houses for free. You'd be like, fuck you. I've been doing this all my life for a living. I don't know how to do anything else. Yeah, sorry. But you do it for free now. Fucking Napster, some kind of monster. It's incredible how they just bring that over. And here's the third thing I hate. And this one fucking gets under my skin. Metallica is back. They're finally back. Finally back. When I fucking hear that, I laugh so hard. We're talking about a band who have been around over 30 years. They're finally back. They've been saying this. The press and people in the industry, they've been writing off Metallica since the fucking day they started. Since the day they started, you know, playing just a complete different style of music outside the box. No one had really heard. You show up at their concerts. You can imagine the record companies. They're like, oh, I don't see any sexy guy in the band, and there's no ballads. This will never go anywhere, you know? They're not even thinking about getting famous. They're just playing fucking the best thrash metal I've ever heard to this day. They pop out Kill 'Em All. Everyone's like, nah, that ain't gonna do anything. That'll never go anywhere. Really? And then look what happens. They crush it. Crush it with a classic right out of the gate. July 25th, 1983. They crush it right out of the gate with Kill 'Em All. Then they lose Dave Mustaine. Everybody's like, oh, yeah, they're done now. Dave was the man. Dave, really? Then they put out two masterpieces back to back. Ride the Lightning and Master of Puppets. Two records I play on a weekly basis 30 years later. And so does half the world that, you know, that listens to metal. Then they lose their bass player in a horrific bus crash. That would have wiped out any fucking band. Any band. And they're like, oh, well, they're done now. And no, They release the all-time, and to me, my favorite Metallica record, the prog metal masterpiece, And Justice for All. Then people are like, yeah, you know, I can't hear the bass. What are you talking about? What about the fucking songs? Insane. Then they do a record with Bob Rock. People are like, Bob Rock? Why would you do a record with that guy? They put out the Black Album. All these metalheads are like, oh, this is shit. Oh, man, what is this? It sells up in the course of like Thriller numbers. They write them up again, and they release the Black Album that sells more. It's up there with Back in Black, Thriller, and the Eagles' Greatest Hits. This is a metal band. A thrash metal band is in the top fucking 10 sellers of all time. August 12th, 91. You're going to write off the Black Album? I still hear people, I'm done after the first four records. You know, I don't go that Black Album. Really? You don't go Sad But True? You don't go Wherever I May Roam? You don't go fucking The God That Failed? You don't go that stuff, huh? Wow. All right. Then they're brewing around. The 90s come. It's a weird era. You know, you got fucking grunge is hitting. Metal's not too popular, which is funny because grunge is total metal sounding. You get into kind of the mid-90s. They release Load. They get an album cover with semen and blood mixed on it. They cut their hair. Everybody's like, oh, they cut their fucking hair. Oh, they're done. They're fucking done, man. They cut their hair. They release Load and Reload and continue to play arenas. I would love to be done, like, in that form. I'm done. I'm only doing arenas for 24 years now. God damn, I'm done. Then they're like a little bored. They're like, hey, we wanna try something different. They do the fucking S&M record. I went to that show. I sat fourth row, Berkeley. They played their metal songs with an orchestra. Hey, maybe you don't like it. But have you fucking put out six masterpieces before it? No, you haven't. It's fucking crazy. Then they release... They go a little while, and of course there's kind of some limbo era, and Jason quits, and it looks like the band might be running its course. And I even kind of thought that, like, hell, man, they had a great run, 20 something years. Who would ever thought a band, fucking a thrash metal band, would run past 5 years? And you know, they lose Jason. Things are in shambles. James goes to rehab. They decide to shoot this movie. And boom, some kind of monster happens. And the album, Saint Anger. People are like, oh, that movie fucking sucked. I can't, that's not metal. I don't think anything is more metal than honesty. Honesty is the scariest fucking thing. It's scary metal. Honesty is metal if you fucking think about it, man. You sit back and you just open up yourself and let everyone see your secrets. I don't know anybody that does that in the business. There's millions of people out there, bands, actors, comedians, that all fucking fight behind closed doors, and you think your heroes are clean. You're crazy. It's evil in there, man. The business makes you evil, and it makes you fucking crazy, and it makes you jealous. It gives you all these weird fucking feelings, and you got to learn how to fix them on your own. Unless you bring in a psychiatrist. I've never seen a psychiatrist. I don't know what it would do for me, but they had the balls to try it. Four fucking guys. Most people that write Metallica off for this movie, I guarantee, has at least one divorce in their books. One divorce. And when you're in a band with three or four or five people That's bordering on five divorces, and you want to save your marriage. That's exactly what they fucking did. And they rebuilt it from the ground up. I needed to see that. It was inspiring to me. It was inspiring. There's my heroes, and they're being honest. Between that movie and probably the Marc Maron, Louis C.K. Episode of What the Fuck, between that movie and that podcast, I learned a lot about honesty, man, and about humans, and about, like, hey, man, I need my friends. Friends are fucking awesome, especially if you're in business with them like a band. And you realize, you look across the table and you go, man, I've known this guy 29 years. This is fucking cool. We're growing old together, man. Especially those guys. We play metal. There's only a fucking drop in the bucket size of bands that have been able to start from the ground up and play and write and get a record deal and carry on for more than a couple years. There's only a fucking small amount. You know, if I had something like that, I would definitely try anything to save it, because once it's gone, look at Roger Waters, man. Sure, I go see him every time and it's sold out and it's awesome, but man, do I want David Gilmour there. You know what I mean? Look at AC/DC right now. Yeah, Angus gets Axl. That was cool for 12 shows. But wow, if you don't try to get Phil Rudd and Brian Johnson back in the mix for chemistry, it's just, you know, it makes no sense to me. So they put that movie out. I still remember the day I saw it. I went to a screening. They gave me a shirt. It was like a double XL, a dress. Hilarious. And I saw it at the Arclight, and I remember just going like, wow, I fucking like this record. I can hear this. I can hear these songs, man. People write off Saint Anger. Do me a favor and go back and re-listen to that record. I don't know why people wrote it off. They're like, no guitar solos. It sounds like shit. Fuck you. It is surly, man. It feels mean. I love the cover. I loved seeing them at the Fillmore when they played the four or five nights on this record. Frantic, unbelievable song. Some Kind of Monster, I love it. Invisible Kid, this is a fucking great record. You know? All right, so they put that record out. Then they kind of fucking cruise for a while. And then they finally do a record with Rick Rubin. 2008, September 12th, it comes out. Rick Rubin record. Great record. Death Magnetic. It's hilarious. The last couple records have been crazy good. So I don't know. Of course, I love the new record. But why would people say they're back? There's no way you missed these other two records. Or you just fucking forgot. It's crazy because it's been 8 years. I can understand you forget. It's been 8 years since they've released a fucking record. But Death Magnetic, you know, it's fucking great. That Was Just Your Life. I was listening to it last night. I was going over all the records and just fucking enjoying it. Cyanide, you know, All Nightmare Long. Great fucking record. And in between all this, don't forget, they did all kinds of crazy shit with their own money. They put on that fucking Orion Festival 2 years straight, lost their asses, but took a chance, wanted to have their own kind of Lollapalooza, totally fucking balls out and badass. Then they'd make that 3D movie, which I think was Q Prime's only mistake. Q Prime, by the way, is their management, and as great as the band is, you got to have great management right next to it, and that's what these guys have been for them forever. When Metallica was a little low on numbers here in the States, they fucking threw them over in other countries where they'd never been, exploding all over the place. They put out that movie. It didn't really do that good, but hey, at least they fucking did something. I mean, imagine if you were just like Metallica and you were just were, you know, out playing Ride the Lightning for 33 years. Fuck that. You'd go crazy. And people ask me why I quit music all the time. Why'd you quit music? You know, you did it 25 years. I'm like, have you ever done anything 25 years? Let me know if you have. And then let me know if you still dig it. You know? So for Metallica to still dig it, they have to fucking venture outside the box. Which leads me to the Lou Reed record. People are like, Lou Reed record's terrible. I was even talking to Eddie Trunk about it. He's like, oh, you're the only guy. And it's like, man, you know, fuck, I love the Stones. I love the Rolling Stones. But you know what I love about the Stones? I love Emotional Rescue as much as I love Bitch. I love Miss You as much as I love fucking Can't You Hear Me Knocking. They're all fucking different if you listen to the Stones over the years. Same with Dylan. All the greats. Springsteen. Anyone. They've challenged themselves. They go outside the box. They've got to or they'd go crazy as artists. And they wouldn't be artists if they didn't fucking try different shit. You'd just be like, you're not an artist. You're just painting the same painting every day. How would you like if fucking every day you just walked in and had to paint Picasso? You know, like just straight up one of his paintings every day. Just paint this Picasso right here. It's like, that's boring. At first you're doing art. Yeah, I'm painting. I'm doing art. But after a while you're like, I'm just doing a paint by numbers. And rock and roll should not be paint by numbers. This band to me are absolutely the top three in my life. I said it when I saw them at the Fillmore. When they did that 30-year anniversary, I actually had tears come out of my eyes. I couldn't believe what heroes they were to me. I was like, this band, I know what it takes to fucking play rock in this town of San Francisco and try to fucking make it. And they made it out of that fucking Emeryville dungeon house. They beat booze, drugs, divorces, breakups, death in the band, you know, members quitting. They beat all of it. They're still fucking standing. They are the Muhammad Ali of rock. They are the Muhammad Ali of rock, man. They are the heavyweight champions to me. Nobody fucking tops this band. So let's get into the new record. The new record, of course, is fucking smoking. If you like, I made my own, sequence last night and I was like, this is how I would sequence it. Of course, sometimes the ego of me is like, man, I wish I could produce this band just once. Be in the studio. Sometimes I feel like I hear stuff and I'm like, no, get rid of that and go there. Yeah. Do that. But the new record, it's been out about a week. And I didn't have time to really get into it. I didn't want to sit down and just half-ass it because I learned that lesson years ago when I just threw on U2's Octung Baby and immediately returned it. Like, this is garbage. I wasn't in the right frame of mind to listen to U2's Octung Baby that day. And then 6 months, a year later, I see him on that tour. And lose my mind, and it's still, to this day, one of my favorite records of all time. So I wanted to be in the right mood for the new Metallica. I was in New York when it came out, and I was working pretty fucking hard all night doing comedy and podcasting during the day, and I didn't want to just throw it on and be like, oh yeah, I wanted to sit down and have nothing on my mind and give it a spin. And that's what I did last night. I think this record is fantastic, and like I said, I'm a big fan of the last two records. I'm not a big fan of the Load and Reload. So if you're sitting here thinking, oh, well, you just like everything they do. No, I don't. But I don't sit around and talk about what I don't like. I talk about what I do. Like, this band to me would be legendary just on Master of Puppets alone. One fucking record, they would be legends. Because Master of Puppets would be considered the crown jewel of all thrash metal. There is no, some people say, no, Rain and Blood, you can say that all you want. But to me, the insanity and the depth and the arrangements and the tones, the album cover, the song titles, and that tour, right there, one record, legends. So I'm just letting you know that, yeah, I love this band. Absolutely. Even though they haven't done my podcast, so fuck them. No. I get it. They don't even know who I am, who my podcast is. You know? But I get it. Hey, let's see here. Let's get into it. Hardwired to Self-Destruct. It's amazing to think that the opening track they just wrote like a couple months ago, because that thing is pure fucking metal. Where the first, of course, the first time everyone heard it, everybody was losing their mind. Like, holy shit, it's great. My only complaint on the record would be like, I don't, and it's not Metallica. It's mostly just all the new records, the digital records. I don't hear the guitar tones of the old days. And I guess because pressing it to tape just sounds so much better than digital. I don't know. The guitar tones just sound a little different to me on all records now. Like, I like the dirt of guitar. Like, if you put on fucking Back in Black and you just hear that, that shit sounds like guitar. Guitar these days, it sounds too perfect. Too perfect. But that's a small fucking thing. That's something I sound like one of those assholes that's like, oh, fuck Death Magnetic. The snare sounds horrible. I'm just making a observation of, I'm such a guitar freak. I'm always like, what's going on here? But to me, at the end of the day, like I always said, it's about the fucking song. So Hardwired kicks off the record, and it is absolutely a punch in the face, 3-minute smasher in the course flavor of like Battery, you know, which immediately is so cool. My biggest thing about Metallica, and I say this over and over and over, is Metallica has been able to do something that is almost impossible to do playing metal. And that is to write a catchy thrash metal song. Songs have hooks, and that's what grabs you, you know, a big chorus, some kind of riff that's a hook or whatever. But those are regular rock songs. Rock and roll always has big hooks, and that's what makes people love songs over the years. But to make a thrash metal song, a fucking punch-in-the-face song, catchy, is almost impossible. That's why the big four are still rocking. If you got Anthrax, you know, Caught in the Mosh, that fucking tune, you know, it's catchy as fuck. You know, Black Friday, it's fucking... Black Friday, not Black Friday. I'm fucking thinking tomorrow, Thanksgiving. Devil's Island, Megadeth, Peace Sells, Devil's Island. You know, Slayer. A lot of the fucking heaviest Slayer songs are catchy as fuck, you know? Dead Skin Mass. You know, that's so hard to do, to make a fucking thrash metal song a hit. And not a hit in like the top 10, like, but a hit in your mind of like, oh yeah, that fucking song's a classic. That's the only thing when Metallica, I think the thing with the Load records is Metallica to me is not a rock band. I don't need them as a rock band. I don't need rock songs from them. Although the Black Album is all rock songs, there's something very, very heavy about it. And it's, of course, has to do with the vocal changing styles of Hetfield. You know, earlier you got that sad but true, you know, and then later he starts singing, which I get. You know, when you get to an age, you can't fucking go on anymore. Your voice would be just gone. That shit is so hard to do, you know? Like, imagine just singing that fucking, that craziness from the first few albums, especially Kill 'Em All. But with me, the rock tunes never really hit much with me with Metallica as much as the fucking Molten. That's what I worship Metallica for. That's what they blew open the doors doing. And I think they can keep doing it original without getting old, which is proof. If you've listened to me, the first five songs of the record. Okay, if you go Hardwire, Atlas Rise, Moth Into the Flame, Dream No More. If you go like those five, I skipped Now That We're Dead, because it just felt wrong to me. If you actually went this record, Hardwired, Atlas Rise, Moth Into the Flame, Dream No More, and then you put I Am Savage, Murder One, and Spit Out the Bone, you got like an 8-9 song record, but the songs are fucking 6, 7, and 8 minutes long. I would think this would be an absolute new masterpiece from Metallica. Hardwired, Atlas Rise, Moth Into the Flame, Dream No More, I Am Savage, Murder One, Spit Out the Bone. Make that into a sequence and lose your mind. You have one of the heaviest Metallica records in 20 fucking years. Now, I'm not casting the other tunes away because I've only really listened to it all the way through about 3 times last night. But when it gets into the rockier tunes, like Now That We're Dead, and I could see when they were sequencing this, they're like, we got to throw like a different style in here. We don't want it to be all thrash metal in a row. I could see what they were probably thinking. But to me, if you would have just thrown, can you imagine if you went Hardwired, Atlas Rise, Spit Out the Bone, Moth Into the Flame, that sequence? You would just be like, what the fuck? These guys are 53 years old. This shit is molten. It is fucking molten. And by the way, Atlas Rise, hands down, the best tune they've done since the Black Album to me. Atlas Rise is fucking amazing, man. And what about releasing videos for every fucking song? They're 50 something years old. Hey, we want you to do a video. This is a band that didn't do a video all the way up until One. And now at 50 something, they go, okay, let's do videos for every song. You know how much fucking work that is? They could easily be punching in right now. Just throw the record out. We'll do a summer tour. We'll say we're going to do we'll do the Ride the Lightning record, the whole tour. People will come, cool. And then the next year we'll do the Black Album, you know. They could easily just punch in and do all this shit, but the fucking challenge is up. Those videos, all different videos for the record, god damn, that's fucking cool. These guys were really, really coming at you like, hey, I can see what they're doing. They're like, look, a lot of people are dying and a lot of people are retired. Sabbath's going away. A lot of bands are going away. We are going to let you know, hey, we're here for another fucking 20 years as long as we can play metal. And I got news for you. We're up here on the top. This is us. This is our fuck. After 30 something years, this is our world. Man, what a fucking record. What a record. I could tell that this record's going to be one of those ones I'll just listen to all year and be like, and later on I'll come on and go, man, sorry guys, I really loved Confusion. You know, like when I listen to the record, like Confusion and Man Unkind, I like the riffs and everything, but they just seemed like at the time it needed a producer, like a pro songwriting producer, to go, you know, that's what Bob Rock did. You know, Bob Rock got a little old or whatever, what they were doing. I can understand. You work with a producer a few times, you get too comfortable. But Bob Rock, I think, can really hear like sad but true, you know. He's just like, this is the riff. This is the melody. We've got it. It's fucking heavy and it's crazy, you know. Sometimes if you just throw all kinds of riffs and parts in, of course, like I said, and Justice for All, completely my favorite record ever by them. But still, those feel like a journey. And sometimes a couple of these tunes felt like I was a little, like I was lost. Like, what, are we on the same song here? But that is a small, small thing, you know, because just for the 8 songs that I love, man, it is epic. This record is fucking epic. And hats off. Hats off, man. You know, you got to think about Robert Trujillo. He finally isn't wearing shorts. And he's not doing that crab walk. And I think if Robert, I love Robert's playing, and I love that the guy is a beautiful human. If he would have came in from day one of Metallica with just black jeans on and a t-shirt and fucking just laid it down with the hair down, just fucking Cousin It style, just, you know, I would have immediately been, fuck yeah. But it was a little comical for me with the crab walk and the basketball shorts. And look, I get it. That if that's you, right on. I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying, for me, when you've got metal and then it's a little bit of a little different thing on the side. But hey, look, who am I to talk? Angus Young wears fucking shorts and a schoolboy outfit, and they're in my top 3 band of all time. So I don't know what the fuck I'm saying. I just know that I'm one of those assholes that's like, that's not my metal band. You know what I mean? Like, I can get there like you guys too. I get it. See? See, I'm talking out my ass. I can admit it. I can admit it, man. I'm fucking, I'm like, hey man, you guys got to open your mind. And then I'm like, no fucking shorts. I get it. What a dick I am. But hats off, Robert. You're fucking playing your ass off on this record and you look fucking great and you're laying it down with the Vans. He's got the fucking Vans on. He's got the black jeans, just a tank top, in shape, laying down some bass, singing some background vocals. Badass. I think after all this era, he's probably comfortable being in that band, comfortable in that skin, and going, hey man, this is me. Jeans, tank top, lay it down. Love it. Big love. So much love for this band. Let's see what else we got before I get off this. I do want to say thanks to everybody that wanted to hear my thoughts on this record. It feels good. It feels good. You know I love this band. It's tough to think what it is for me. You know, people go, what's your favorite? Can't, you know, it's, I think it's like 5. It's Grateful Dead. It's Zeppelin. It's Metallica. AC/DC. And Springsteen or something. You know, I don't know. But those are the ones that are probably always on the turntable. Besides that fucking Temple of the Dog Mother Love Bone right now. Whoo, fuck. Unbelievable. Anyway, thank you, Metallica. That's all I can say to you is thank you. Because you have absolutely been the soundtrack to my madness since 82, 83. You know? You are San Francisco to me. To me, San Francisco is the Grateful Dead and Metallica. That's what San Francisco is to me. 100%. You know? And thank you for doing what you do. I hope to get one of you guys on the podcast one day. It'll be one of those days where I'll just like It'll be like when I had fucking like Rich Robinson on or Jerry from Devo or, you know, get people on that you just go, all right, here we go. Please let me ask 4 million questions. All right, that's my thoughts on the Metallica record. And I hope the main thing about Metallica is just fucking, you know what, go out and buy this record. That's what you do. That's what you do. After all the years of illegal downloading, people done, go out and fucking, with your money, actually go down to a record store. I don't care if it's vinyl, cassette, 8-track, CD. I don't care what you buy, or iTunes, anything. Buy yourself a Metallica record. Because these guys, and if you're one of those idiots that sits around and goes, oh, they're so fucking rich. Man, give them all the money. Give them all the money. You know, it's like when you see a movie like Moonlight. I just saw this movie, Moonlight. Give it all the money so that director can make more films. Give them all the awards, all the Academy Awards. Like last year, The Revenant. I've yet to see a movie other than No Country for Old Men that blew my mind so fucking hard like The Revenant. Next time you think it's cold out, you go, ooh, it's cold. Just think of The Revenant. I saw The Revenant. I've never been so cold I slept in a horse for a sleeping bag. Anyway, Metallica, I love you. Let's get do a couple more things. And then, by the way, if you're wondering, yeah, the episode is just me today. Everybody else is not a lunatic. They're out their families. I'm home doing a podcast and enjoying life. And let's see now. I want to tell you guys, I went to the LA Auto Show. And I want to talk a little bit about the LA Auto Show. If you don't go to the LA Auto Shows or the auto shows when they come around you, I don't know, like New York, then they have LA. I don't know where else it goes. I've never really even looked into it. But I go every year with my good friend, comedian Byron Bowers. And like I say over and over, when you're at the Comedy Store and, you know, comedians are weird people. It's the way you bond is through similar likes and hates and stuff like that, you know. So Byron and I, early on, we bonded over automobiles. And Byron's birthday, which is today, happy birthday, Byron Bowers. Everybody tweet at him. It is his birthday today. We bonded on automobiles, and every year for 4 years now, we go to the auto show, the two of us, and we spend the entire day enjoying each other's clowning as we clown cars and we worship cars like a bunch of fucking freaks. And this year was no exception. I go to the auto show. I always love looking at all the new cars, and I realized something this year. No matter how much money I'd have, it would be tough to have a fucking sweet car. Because these cars are fucking, they cost through the roof, man. You know? Like a great fucking, like a Porsche 911 is $196,000. Now look, if you're crazy rich, yeah, that's nothing. But to me, it's not about the money. It's about the assholes out there that are fucking door dinging your ride. You know, the valet that curb shots your rim and scars your rim. The gravel truck in front of you that drops fucking pebbles and chips your hood paint. You know, the guy that gets in your car with muddy shoes. You know, like, hey, dude, you got mud on your shoes. Who put the coals out on my carpet? Remember that trading places? Who put the coals out on my carpet? Anyway, I when you grow up poor, like I always say, everything in my house is a parachute. I keep everything in mint condition, so at any minute I'll be able to sell it, which is a weird fucking thing, and a scary thing. Cause I once said that I wish I could just own something for a year and not have to sell it. But that being said, if I did if I didn't care about what happens to the car, I would just get a Porsche 911. As I look at all the cars every year at the fucking auto show, the 911 to me is the sexiest ride ever. It stays the same, but changes a little bit. And it's just, to me, classic, like a Rolex watch. There's so many great cars, though, man. Beamer. I think BMW gets a bad rap because of, like, fucking, when I was growing up, it was the yuppies. It was called the yuppies. The yuppies drive the Beamers. You know, BMW, break my window. It was absurd how much abuse that BMW got because of, like, rich people were driving them in Mill Valley, you know, Marin County, California. The yuppies car. But it'd be like, really, man? The yuppies car? I mean, the M3 is a fucking race car. I love the BMW M2 this year. It's one of the best cars ever made, but it's 80 fucking grand. Whenever I look at something 80 grand, I go, you know, you can get the best motorcycle. Like, you know, look at Bobby last week at Indian Larry, 80 grand. I go, okay, let's see, BMW or an Indian Larry motorcycle. Indian Larry motorcycle all day long, a handmade fucking machine. That is going to beat, because, you know, with Beamer or everything but Porsche, man, Porsche, you get, you know, used, you're like, oh, just wait a couple of years, it'll come way down. Not the case with Porsche. But it's crazy cars, how they just change every couple of years. You got the old model, they're like cell phones. You're like, oh, I don't like this one anymore. It's a lot like sneakers. New ones coming out nonstop. You're like, shit, I got to get the new fucking new 911 now. Anyway, for the money, though, if you guys are out there and you want to get a new car, yeah, of course, I had the Subaru WRX. I sold it, but I had it. It was probably one of the best cars I've ever drove for the money, 35 grand. But really, the king now is the Ford Focus RS. That thing is 350 horsepower, absolute fucking rocket. I look at it and go, wow, maybe that fucking would be dope to have. But then I wouldn't drive it. I wouldn't drive cars. I hate traffic. Also, you don't need a car in New York if you're in New York. Who's got an apartment for me? Come on. I can't believe it. No one's hit me. I keep waiting for someone on here to go, hey, dude, my grandfather owns a building in Manhattan. I'll hook you up. I'm waiting for that. I'm waiting for that email at DeanDelRay@yahoo.com. Anyway, auto show. It's here for a few more days. And if you live in LA, go see it. And wherever you're at, go see the automobiles. Take your kids or your friends or wherever. It's a great fucking day at the auto show. Just looking at how far automobiles have come is just insane. I was looking at this. What was it? What do they fucking call that? Let me look it up here. I got a picture of it. It's the Lincoln Navigator, which, by the way, Lincoln Continental came out. They came out with a new Continental. It is pimp, man. But the Navigator, they got this concept Navigator. Oh my God, it's so fucking cool. I was never a Lincoln guy, except for the early Suicide Door Continentals. That was always so cool, man. The fucking, you know, of course, you know, people, the one that Kennedy got assassinated in. Wow, man. Fucking R.I.P. Kennedy, which, by the way, I'm looking forward to seeing Jackie. Can't wait to see that. Kennedy, that was just a couple days ago, the anniversary. Long live Kennedy, man. Come a long way from Kennedy to Trump, huh? Wow. It's crazy. It's almost like football quarterbacks. You know? Look how much they've changed. Hilarious. No good quarterbacks, you know? No good quarterbacks anymore. No good presidents. All right. I don't know. I'm getting all over the board. I'm getting sidetracked. I'm getting crazy. I love you guys. Let's see. Have a great weekend and a great Thanksgiving. Don't go out there and fucking beat anyone up for stupid deals at stores. Black Friday, it doesn't mean shit. You're just going to fill your house with stuff you don't need, right? I'm constantly battling that myself. My dream is to have an empty house with just some motorcycles, records, and leather jackets. I'm getting there. I'm trying to get there. I'm selling everything on eBay. I got a fucking bedroom full of XL concert shirts that I'm going to be selling because XL doesn't fit me anymore. There's over 100 shirts in there. When the fuck can I wear 100 shirts? How fucking stupid. T-shirts, they grab me there. They're like cocaine. I'll just walk by this place like, whoa, Devo shirt. I need that. Devo shirt number 35 I got now. Or Metallica. Oh, that's the Pusshead era. Metallica shirt number 41. Van Halen. Fair Warning shirt. Original. Oh, man, I need that. That fucking goes in my head. Oh, salvaged denim. Oh, this one's a different thickness and color. Oh, I need that and 9 flannels. I don't know what the fuck is wrong. Of course, trying to fill holes. I know it. But, you know, like I always said, if I didn't have any needs to buy stuff, I wouldn't leave the house. I would just be sitting around like, I'm good. I'm good. But there is something cool. I remember Byron was talking to me at the car show. And as we realized, man, fucking, do we really need a cool car? No. As I walked around New York for weeks at a time, did I miss my motorcycle or anything in my apartment? I didn't. I didn't miss one fucking thing. I got a watch on my hand. I got the killer leather jacket, some boots on, and I'm fucking walking doing comedy. The only thing that matters was doing stand-up comedy. And all that shit, after 2-3 weeks, I don't even know I have. At all. You know? Anyway, I love you guys. Keep the candles lit. Happy Thanksgiving. See ya.